This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
All right.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
We were making fun of Swim Swim News. To their credit,
yeah,
they at least put an article up on Swim
they
Swim
do.
News. I couldn't find one earlier, but they got one up now. I'm still taking it with skepticism. We mentioned earlier in the show that there was no news about anybody leaving the ACC yet. There is a rumor out there that has like just enough appearance of credibility, including a blue check and the way they wrote it, that people are just automatically assuming it's true. There are certain reporters, much like in the NBA circles, you know if Woj says it, well, like, it's a done deal, right?
Yeah, Shams.
There are people around here where if they say, oh, no, you know, I don't even remember what this rumor was. UNC, Virginia,
North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia.
Yeah, we're going to the SEC, right? If David Glenn tweeted this, I would buy it 100%.
Yeah. If Luke Dukak,
Joe Giglio. Yep. I had more to add to my list. Giglio drops it, if David Teal tweets it out. Mm-hmm. David Teal, I reached out to him earlier this week. He hit me up this morning at like 5 a.m., said, yo, I'm in Europe, sorry. Appreciate him reaching back out to me. But I tried to tell him there will be an ACC for him when he returns. If David Teal tweeted out something about somebody leaving, I will believe it. There are many other people that I would put in that category. Braden Keith of Swim Swim News. I don't know him. I'm not knocking him. I don't know what news he's broken before. But I'm just saying he has not made my list of I accept this report at face value. One of those other people who I have great experience and know that they wouldn't they would not put out such a thing without high level of accurate sourcing and information about somebody leaving the ACC. If one of those people put it out, if Lauren Brownlow tweeted it, I would believe it, right? Sorry, Braden Keith of Swim Swim News. I apologize. I don't mean to demean your journalistic integrity. But and it's just the name, Swim Swim News. It's because this is always the case.
Yeah.
it was back in the day, it was Orange Bloods, wasn't that the name? Or Orange Blood, a guy from Texas that used to always, he had West Virginia coming to the ACC.
Yeah.
He had UNC going to the Big 12, I think, maybe at one point, and joined Texas. Or was it Texas to the ACC?
I think it was Texas to the ACC.
He had a lot of crazy stuff. And it's like, only remember his name.
That.
And so from now on, and who knows, man, hit me up if you are a swimmer, 919-860-5326, and you regularly read Swim Swim News, and you're like, no, they're good, you know. From now on, anytime there is a errant report or an erroneous or one that people are skeptical of in this area, now people are going to be like, wait, who's reporting this? Is it Swim Swim News?
Yeah.
Is it Swim Swim News? Because if it's Swim Swim News, I'm not going to believe it. All right. We talked to you yesterday. Oh, we've been talking about this all week. As the news officially hit last week of UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten. That's the other thing about this. I can't remember who it was. Was it Chip Patterson or David Glenn that said this? You should note, when these things actually happen, it's very rare that a report gets out early. David Glenn, to his credit, has broken a couple of them over the years. But it's like an hour before or 2 hours. It's before anybody else, but it's an hour or two before it was set to be officially announced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it usually doesn't happen that rumor gets out from random site and then a lot of people write about it as true and then it gets announced. Who wrote about the UCLA or USC news before it happened? Nobody?
No.
It came out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere. Like, again, people should always know that these things can't happen, but there weren't rumors of that one. I don't remember there being rumors of Oklahoma, Texas going to the SEC right before it happened. Like, the ones that actually happen are kept under pretty good secrecy. And if it gets out, it's usually like the day that it's going to be announced anyway. So, once again, I mean no disrespect to Braden Keith of Swim Swim News. But there are just a couple things, and I tweeted this out last night, and it's been one of the themes of my discussion of this topic this week on the Adam Gold Show, is that every time I see people write about these rumors, and Swim Swim News aside, there are national college football reporters who are doing their due diligence and talking to ADs and talking to sources at conferences, and they're saying, what do you hear? What do you hear? What do you hear? What do you hear? And they hear things like Notre Dame is obviously the most player still out there, right? And then they hear, well, who else is valuable? And not long down that list is North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So then they go and they report, North Carolina is seen by the Big 12 and the SEC as a pretty favorite thing, right? So now that kickstarts a, would North Carolina go to the SEC or the Big 10? Like, what would it look like? Who might be a partner? Because usually these things happen in pairs, right? So you have all these very fair discussions to have, but also stopping well short of reporting that UNC is moving to one of the conferences, right? And in every one of these conferences, every one of these articles that's done well, they say there is the small issue of the ACC's grant of rights. And some of them, if they're really good, say there is a small issue of, well, the North Carolina legislature might not just sit by and watch UNC get taken to another conference while NC State stays here, right? Like, maybe you might get a mention of it. But none of them really go deep into it. I feel like we've gone pretty deep into the grant of rights. Obviously, I don't expect that people listening right now have listened yesterday or even the hour before or whatever, but I also don't like to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. But a quick reminder, as it stands now, there is a 14-year deal, 14 years still left on a deal that would say you got to pay a bunch of money just to leave the conference, and then you have to pay us all the money that you get for media rights from your new deal.
Yeah.
These new deals that look great for the SEC and the Big Ten, you say, oh, I want to get the 50 or the 60 or the 70 or the 80 or the 90 or whatever million a year. For 14 years, you have a contract signed that you are giving it back to us, the ACC. So you got to start calculating when you're actually going to be able to make money that you're going to keep, right? That is a big deal. Yes, somebody could sue to try and get out of it being as much as it is, but it's 14 years. It's a lot of meat left on that bone. That's why some people say the way it stands now, the ACC has fallen well behind the competition, and when it gets closer to 2030, 2031, and there's meat left on that bone, maybe somebody might take a stab at it, right?
They might.
So that's a big, 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 big hurdle to clear to somebody to just say, yeah, I'm leaving the ACC, and I'm going to pay insert number, I don't know what it is, $50 million right now to leave, and the next 14 years, every one of my 60, 70, $80 million payouts, I'm just giving directly to the ACC. That's just, I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that somebody won't sue to happen. Texas is having a hard time right now getting their way legally out of their grant of rights that had like 3 years left on it, right?
Yeah.
14 years, big deal. But the other big deal that people don't know, if you are not in this state, and some people, if you didn't grow up, you didn't study the history of this state, if you don't know it, the North Carolina General Assembly, there is no way that they are just going to sit idly by and watch UNC walk to another conference. And I'm not suggesting that UNC wants to. I'm just responding to rumored reports. Let me take you to a specific instance, right? Reading here from an article, beginning in 1970, only a few years after ECU began playing football, NC State hosted the Pirates in Carter-Finley Stadium. Then North Carolina played ECU. They hosted them several times, but they never played them down in Greenville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many wanted them to be on the same football footing with their larger counterparts. So in the early 1990s, a small group of state senators in eastern North Carolina counties, Ed Warren of Pitt County, led them and banding together and hinting that they would support funding cuts for campus building projects in Raleigh and Chapel Hill. There's actually a bill passed to basically, we want NC State and UNC to play ECU, and we want you to go down there and play them, right? So the NC legislature got involved, and again, depending on who you talk to, they'll say, we didn't force State or Carolina to play ECU. We just made it a good reason to play ECU, right? If you think that the NC legislature is not going to get involved in something like this, they got involved recently in the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. It started off as one guy didn't think a suspension was fair because his high school didn't make the state playoffs or whatever. Just ridiculous oversight and overstepping of authority, whatever. It led to a lot of other investigation, the NCHSA, more it should. It's mostly okay now, but whatever. We have a great high school athletic association, one that is envied of other places, and the North Carolina legislature wanted to meddle in it and change things, right? If you don't think that they are going to meddle in this, you are sadly mistaken, and you don't understand how politics work in North Carolina and how deeply entwined the North Carolina schools are, the ACC, and all this stuff.
And those are state schools. That's the thing.
Yes.
So people are like, well, if Duke is – Wake Forest are totally different situations because they're private.
Different, but let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them – don't think that North Carolina legislatures wouldn't look for a way to try and punish
them.
Like whatever tax incentives, whatever business the state does with Duke or Wake, they would probably try and find a way to make it hurt for them if they ever left for a conference, right? But absolutely, your point is correct. In the case of UNC or NC State, they directly control it. So we saw in Virginia when the ACC was looking to add teams, and I can't remember who the team that we were going to add at the time. It was going to be somebody, whatever. But the Virginia Tech legislators went and got with their counterparts and they said, hey, we need to get Virginia Tech in here. This would be good for the state to have Virginia, Virginia Tech in the same conference. And they made it happen. I don't know what the California university system looks like what the situation is that would allow UCLA or USC's private.
USC's private. Well, UCLA, like the Cal State – or the Cal State system is different than the University of California. Like, they're kind of two different things, but both run by the state. So, like, UC Berkeley, that's Cal Berkeley. UCLA, UC Los Angeles. So, those are kind of intertwined together, different than, like, Cal State Fullerton. So, a little bit different. But the fact that UCLA left, but Cal didn't have to go – maybe there isn't.
My point is I don't know what the culture is around there. Like maybe the legislature just doesn't get involved in sporting issues as much at that level. I'm telling you, I know North Carolina. There are enough NC State alumni and UNC alumni who value the tradition of the ACC who would get in, get involved, and do whatever they could to prevent this. There would be some that would say, well, we want to allow the UNC president and athletic director to make the decision that's best for them. But that ain't going to be the majority of it, I'm telling you. So anybody who wants to talk about UNC leaving the ACC, especially in something quick, something that would happen like in this summer or this year, you've got to explain to me how they're getting around the grant of rights. Are they just lawyering up and taking it to court and just going to try and sue their way to get the number dropped? And then you got to tell me how they're going to get around the legislature getting involved and keeping it from happening.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
We're breaking swimming news. We're going to get in their lane. We're going to start breaking swimming news.
I appreciate that subtle pun you just threw in there, by the way.
Is trending. Swim is trending. I'm loving reading the tweets being like, swim news all over. Look, I'm only hosting one more day, so we've got 24 hours. I'll be back, though. I'll be back, I don't know, in a week or so. If this happens to be true, if this rumor about UNC, Virginia, Clemson, and Florida State, is that right, leaving to the SEC, courtesy of Swim News, is true, I'll go full Pedro Martinez. I'll tip my cap and call Swim News my daddy. You know? I mean, but for right now, like I said, for reasons I've stated many times, including the high bar of the grant of rights and the North Carolina General Assembly. And I've tweeted that out. People were like, That's what everybody said about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. That's what everybody said about Texas, whatever. Play left. Like, I don't know the culture of those places. I know the culture here. I know how it works. I've seen Board of Governors, Board of Trustee fights. I've seen the North Carolina legislature get involved in things where people don't think they should be involved. Whether in this case, I would want them to prevent a team from leaving the ACC, right? But in general, they have shown that they don't really care exactly where their power is supposed to lie. This is not this current legislature. This is the history of the North Carolina legislature run by either party. They think that they can and should be involved in anything they want to. And they will want to be involved if NC State if UNC tries to leave the ACC without NC State, for sure. All right. I mentioned earlier there are two sporting events starting today that you don't know anything about but are apparently pretty big in their neck of the woods, and one of them is in our neck of the woods right here in Raleigh. I'll start with the other one. Have you ever heard of the World Games?
Is this like the Junior Goodwill Games?
No, it's
Should we be watching D2 Mighty Ducks all day today?
That is a tradition unlike any other. It's called the World Games. It's in Birmingham, Alabama this year.
Yes, they have lacrosse there.
They have tug of war.
Yes.
One of their events. Break dancing.
Nice.
Is one of their events. Parkour, sport climbing, beach handball. Like, you know what? I assume this is the sport of handball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Which, for some reason, I don't watch, but recently Instagram has been suggesting all these, like, handball highlights, and so I pause to watch one, and then I see more of them. It's like dudes taking penalty kicks. You know in soccer, I'm getting off on a handball tangent. You know in soccer, penalty kick, you are partly trying to outthink the goalie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But partly you're just trying to blast the penalty kick somewhere in a far corner, right? And occasionally, you might see, like, a trick, like a fake, a cheat, a deceitful move, or spin on the ball, or whatever it is. In handball, like, every penalty is like the trickster. Like, you're not – the goal is so small and the goalies are so big coming at you that, like, everybody's using spin to get around. Like, or, like, faking hard throw and then the bloop over the top or whatever. Or, like, you know, yeah, whatever. Anyway. So, beach handball, I imagine, is cool. Speed skating – Muay Thai, is that a type of MMA, I believe? I don't know if I'm saying
Muay
it right.
Muay Thai?
Muay Thai, there we go. That sounds about Muay Thai.
That is a martial
drink.
Art, yes.
There we go. Let's go with Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, are we having drinks?
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? Is it the competition? Who can mix the best Muay Thai?
Canopy piloting. People jump out of perfectly good airplanes, parachute at high speeds down to a pond, and then dance across the water for style points. Canopy piloting. This is happening at the World Games, that it's called. It's been described as the Olympics for adrenaline,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like it's something that we could get in Raleigh.
Yes.
Like, if Birmingham can get it, Raleigh is big enough to get the World Games, and I didn't know anything about them, but now I do, and I want them. All right? I want to know more about them.
Can we use Jordan Lake as the pond, like, that they land on?
Jordan Lake or Falls Lake.
Falls Lake. Yeah. We could have multiple lakes.
Remember,
like a Falls Lake region.
Yes.
And
I don't know
region.
What other sports they got, but, like, we could do, like, tennis baseball with this, or, like, wiffle ball would be a good World Games sport. But Birmingham beat out Lima, Peru, and Ufa, Russia to host the World Games. And I think Raleigh needs to get a bid in. I'm going to talk to my man, Scott Dupree, of the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance to make it happen. It'll be going for 11 days. The World Games. Hit me up on Twitter if you know something about the World Games that I don't know that is cool, at DHPIV.
Lacrosse is being played.
The other thing that is going on right now, and this one is happening right here in North Carolina, mm-hmm. at PNC Arena. I almost asked Rod Brindamore, because the first question I asked him was, like, where do you spend your summer? And he was like, at the rink, at the practice rink. And I'm like, come on, man. I mean, like, when you're actually relaxing for, like, 3 days, and he admittedly goes down to the beach, but he's like, I'm at PNC Arena. I want to be like, well, you're not there this weekend, buddy, and I know you're not, because it is full of gamers. Now, not too long ago, I've got a podcast called Podcast Rally. We talked to Scott Dupree, who's the longtime great head of the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance. He actually used to work in sports information, worked at Notre Dame for a long time. Yeah. He's one of those guys that helps you in this business. They're good at helping you get interviews with coaches and players, right? They do a lot of other stuff besides that, but that's a lot of time how we see them in radio. Mike Sundheim, great sports information guy, or they have a different word from communications for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's who you hit up when you want to talk to Rod Brindamore. So Scott Dupree, then became head of the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance, where his job is to try and bring sporting events to Raleigh, whether it's big youth tournaments for basketball or soccer or cheer, whatever. It's college tournaments. The NCAA Division, I can't remember if it's Division II or Division III baseball, comes here every year. Mm-hmm. We bid for, obviously, the NCAA tournament, men's and women's, and we get them often. Other championships, lacrosses, the field hockeys, we get a lot of those. And then, you know, big events like I think we – is it the World Cricket Games are coming?
Yeah,
to?
Like the minor league World Cricket Games were actually in Cary or Mooresville.
But. And when we talked to Scott Dupree, one of the things he said that was eye-opening to him over the past few years, it was certainly eye-opening to me because I do not know how big this world is, and you know it better than I do, but it is the world of gaming and esports, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the number of people that are playing on the line, but literally will fill up PNC Arena this weekend for an, let me get it right, an Apex Legends
yes.
Global Series. And this is the championship weekend, I believe, of the Global Series. I came across this week when on Reddit, you know, I follow like Raleigh Reddit to see what's going on in town. And there was this whole thing of like, yo, people coming to Raleigh here. Or so, no, it was like, I'm coming to Raleigh. What do I need to know? And it was clear this person was like from another country. So this thing is international, huge event. Like I said, I think it was a $2 or $2.5 million purse for an EA game called Apex Legends. To me, from an outsider, it looks just like any other game of you pick a person, you posse up with some other people, and then you go try and kill some people, right? Like, the landscape may change, the weapons may be different, the graphics are different. And I'm not saying knocking that, but like that's a simple description
yeah.
of what it is. And that will be going on. Scott basically said people at his office have been, for the last year or 2 years, have become esports experts because there is so much money right now to be able to host these events. And if you are building new facilities like around here we are in Cary, I guarantee you if you're listening to the show in the Triad or in Greenville or Wilmington, there's discussion of new sports facilities. And when you build them, you do not build anymore. You don't build an ice hockey rink. You don't build just an ice hockey rink or just a this or just a that. You've got to have a multi-purpose event that could host a volleyball event one weekend and have places for the nets to easily go in and still good floors. And host a cheerleading event the next weekend, and the weekend after that, host an esports event. And it's one of the things that like they are now designing stadiums and
yeah.
You know, local arenas for to be able to host these events.
You've described Raleigh Convention Center has had volleyball, basketball tournaments. GalaxyCon takes place there. There's a reason why these are multi-event venues. It's not just like you said. Like, PNC wasn't built for just basketball and
right.
hockey.
But yes, and now esports is becoming one of the things that, like, when you design a venue, you want to design it with esports in mind. So, Apex Legends, the Global Series, I'm sure I'm getting it wrong, but, like, the Global Series Championship, I believe, is this weekend at PNC Arena. I keep seeing Apex Legends, and I keep wanting to put it in Apex, but that's just the name
Maybe
of the game.
Maybe we should.
Is Apex Legends a good game? I only did sports games.
I have not played Apex Legends, but I do know from people who have played it really do enjoy it because it's the way this is set up is that there are going to be 120 players, 40 teams of three, and you drop in just basically like these big battle royals, essentially is what it's going to be. So it's just last person standing.
If you can go check out the site, it's EA Sports, or if you just Google Apex Legends, I mean, you can see all the qualifiers, whatever, that have come up to getting here, and there will be people. Now, I feel bad because, like, people on Reddit were like, hey, man. Well, first of all, I felt bad because they're like, hey, people are like, what is there to do around PNC Arena? And they're like, there's a Wendy's
backyard
and Backyard
Bistro.
And there's Bojangles not too far away, which I felt bad about. And then people were also like, oh, also, you're from, like, this place? It's going to be hot. And I know you think you know it's going to be hot, but it's going to be, like, sticky hot in a way that you don't have in your country. Yeah. So you think you know what 92 degrees feels like, and I'm telling you, it is going to feel different when you come to Raleigh.
Well, here, to kind of tie this in, because it is at PNC Arena where the Canes play, this is one of the reasons why Tom Dundon wants to build up the area around PNC.
Yeah, 100%.
It's because for these things.
Yes.
These businesses would benefit from these other events that are taking place there.
Oh, 100%. And the bidding for them, they would get bigger events. They'd be able to bid for you'd be an even more attractive place for something like a women's Final Four if you had four hotels and 15 restaurants and bars that were all right there. And you could say, hey, you're going to come here for three games for the Final Four and you won't have to leave this area the whole time you're here. And we don't quite have that yet.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big – this is going to be a big reason why to continue to do these things, because they're constantly having concerts. There's wrestling. Obviously, PNC has NC State basketball and the Canes. If more of these big events want to continue to come in, you have to make things appealing outside of the event itself.
But you know what that's going to mean. You know what the big trade-off there is.
What's that?
What surrounds PNC Arena right now?
The State Fair.
Yeah, but I mean, direct, like when you walk out, you're hitting in every direction. What do you see in PNC Arena when you look around?
Parking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to build a parking deck that goes up. And you're going to take away it, – it's going to hurt the NC State tailgate scene a little bit, and it's going to hurt the Hurricanes tailgating scene a little bit. You could still have a great one, but just people are going to have to give up something to get something. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, part of that pavement is going to have to get turned into businesses to make it work. So, but welcome to folks who I don't guess that a lot of – I shouldn't make assumptions. I don't guess that a lot of people who come to Raleigh from other places tune into sports radio as the first thing. Like, listening to – I don't do that when I'm in other markets, right? But if you are listening and you are here for the Apex Legends event, welcome to our fair city. Sorry it's so hot. We know it's not funny.
Call us.
Yes. Give us a call if you're competing.
Let us know where you're from.
919-860-5FAN, 919-860-5326. We are 90 minutes into the show. We got 90 minutes left. That means we're at halftime.
Entertainment.
Oh, real quick, do they have halftime at esports? Are there halftimes?
I'm assuming there are.
And also, do they
intermissions?
Are there play-by-play people at esports?
There needs to be.
I mean, and I'm serious. Like, obviously, I'd be like, I'll do it, but like, I'd be terrible at it because I wouldn't know what's going
on. I'm sure there's.
I'd be like
some...
Snoop Dogg. You know when they bring Snoop Dogg out to call events and he didn't have to really know the sports? That'd be me. I'd be like, oh, dude, he just crushed that guy from downtown. What was that guy? You know, he just shot him from way down there. Like,
yeah.
And people would be like, yeah, that happens all the time. I'd be like, that was amazing. He was doing a flip and he shot him. You know, like, I'd give bad commentary, but it might be interesting at how bad it was. So,
long as it – because I'm assuming there are going to be people inside the arena watching this when there are. I mean, why can't we get our man B-Dot over there
to be the host?
To be the host, just to hype things up, keep the crowd engaged. Why not?
I looked, it was like $35 a ticket, general admission. So I don't know if that's a good deal or not, but I was trying to gauge, is this a $5 event? Is this a $100 event? It was $35 for general
My
admission.
Guess is people are going to be, the fact that it's being held at PNC, people are going to be filling that place up because they wouldn't book PNC if they're only anticipating selling 5,000 tickets.
Sure, sure, sure.
So either way. Yesterday, we did not get to this because the Baker Mayfield trade.
That's what happened.
The Baker Mayfield trade. But happy birthday, Bojangles.
Sorry about that birthday.
Happy birthday, Bojangles.
They're 1977, July, what was yesterday, 6th?
Yep.
July 6th, 1977, Bojangles opened up. Fantastic. Good stuff. And they've been giving away free Kid Supremes ever since.
Basically. That's the wrong one.
Trying to think, what would you give Bojangles for a birthday? One time, I literally had some friends try to rent out a Bojangles for my birthday.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't work. Like, they didn't have a policy to be, like, the people didn't understand. You know, he was, like, telling the manager, he was like, yeah, we want to rent out a place. And they're like, I mean, yeah, you could just buy a bunch of food and be here. You know, and they're like, no. Like, we want it shut down and nobody else can come in. You know, they're like, we'll even do it, like, after hours. If you close at 10, we want to be here from, like, 10 to midnight. And, like, you know, and they just didn't quite understand. You know, it's a corporate world. They're like, we don't do rentals.
Yeah, because Lord knows someone would be like, oh, wait, Bojangles is open at 10:30. Let's go. And
but now I think about it, I'm like, well, if it would work, why not do it?
Yeah.
If you could rent out your Bojangles for a couple $100 after hours.
I say do it.
Make it happen. Happy birthday, Bojangles. Happy late birthday.
Also, you threw this in there. Today is World Chocolate Day.
Yeah. First of all, this is one of those fraudulent ones where, I'm betting there are 15 chocolate days. There's probably International Chocolate Day, World Chocolate Day, National Chocolate Day.
But Chocolate Day.
Yeah, Dark Chocolate Day. Who puts a chocolate day in July.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in another hemisphere it's colder or something, but did you hear us start the show? Did you hear us mention what the weather was like outside? Did you hear it?
Yeah, it sounded a little something like this.
Weather out there today is hot and with continued hot and in the afternoon. Tomorrow, chance of continued crappy with a weather front coming down from the north. Basically, it's hotter than the snakes in the wax.
Yeah, not a great day to eat chocolate.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it from the store unwrapped to your mouth without it like melting. Disgusting. No reason for me to be a World Chocolate Day. That's my only commentary on that.
Also, this happened internationally.
This is fantastic. I love the...
And I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
I mean, just,
I want to thank Carrie.
I don't even need the rest of it. I just want
to thank
the breaks. But them's the breaks,
yeah.
Says Boris Johnson as he resigns as prime minister. I covet British politics. Like, hey, have you ever seen their parliament where they like, it's like being in an African American church where like people talk out loud. The minister's like, And that's why you should do this. And like, that's right. That's right. People like agreeing with you and mm-hmm. amen and stuff. In Parliament, though, like personally, go, and I think that I'm not even going to do a bad British accent. I'm just going to talk like me, but I'm going to try to imitate. Like, and I think that this, and like people in the back are like, oh, no, 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 no. Like they'll like shout the dude down. It's amazing. And they have these crazy things where like you do it. Like just 2 weeks ago, there was a vote of no confidence in Boris Johnson. And he survived it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, you should be good, right? Like, no, once they start the votes of no confidence, even if you pass one, they really don't have confidence. And just the formality, it's like a baseball game where, you know, before a fight ever breaks out, there's all the, like, looks and nods and the passive movements of like, well, I'm mad at that guy. Well, now I'm mad at that guy. Now I'm going to throw a ball in this way that signals my unhappiness. And now I'm going to come out to the top of the steps and look to signal my unhappiness. Like, that's what British politics feels like. I'm like,
right.
Oh, yes? Well, I'm going to resign and walk on this. Well, I'm going to start a new party that will say this. And I'll get the queen. You know, like, I don't know. It just seems cool. And I've been enjoying it, even though I don't understand everything that's going on. I like all the traditions and formalities and all the names. Like, you know, like we got senators and congressmen and all these people are like the Duke or the Exeter of this or something. I don't know. I love it. I love it. I want them to all have to wear wigs, white wigs while they debate things too. I wish that would happen. I think only some of them still do that. All right. Next up, halftime. Sorry. Thank you for indulging me.
I am indulging you. This is supposed to be my segment. I'm going to let
you
indulge.
No,
it's fine. It's all good.
I thought I was helping by putting topics in there.
No,
come on. I'm helping.
It's all good. Thor Love and Thunder comes out today, Hayes Permar.
All right, well, I'll just turn off my mic. It's your time to shine, baby. Take it out.
Well, the first showings of the film, it technically comes out tomorrow. But the Thursday preview day, it used to be, all right, midnight showing. You know, so, like on Friday, like whereas Thursday night, midnight, technically Friday,
right.
Is what they used to do, right? Then they started pushing, like, well, maybe we can push it to like 8 o'clock. On Thursday, and now it's like 7 o'clock. Then for you know, they're 5 o'clock. Now today, you can go at 3 o'clock and watch the movie. Like, why are we saying it's coming out Friday? It's
tomorrow,
out today.
But it's open.
It's out today.
You got tickets today?
I am, 4:30. I'm beating this heat. I'm going.
That used to be my favorite thing to do.
Oh, the summer?
A day off from Camp Siegel, when all you do is spend all day, every day out in this heat. Was like, I'm buying a ticket to a movie. I don't care what it is. I'm going to sit in a cold, dark place and probably fall asleep 20 minutes in. But so, like, I think I had to go to see American Pie 3 times to actually get through it because I was like, I'm enjoying this, but I'm also just nice and cozy and going to enjoy the AC.
Good place to get chocolate on.
I'm not. Yeah, you can actually eat chocolate in the theater. It's cold enough. I'm not a Marvel hater. I'm not Marvel invested.
Mm-hmm.
But of the movies I've watched, Thor's never really like grabbed me.
Okay.
I've heard people say good things about Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Yeah.
I think I've started that one a time or two and maybe fallen asleep. And just in general, his character is not one of my favorite characters of the Marvel people. I'm more a Black Panther, Iron Man, Spider-Man kind of guy.
Okay. I respect that.
Not Thor.
All right. Stranger Things season 4 obviously just wrapped up. They released the final two episodes a couple days ago. Well, the Durham Bulls are having a Stranger Things day. They just announced today on September 22nd.
Interesting.
Yes.
Will the dudes, will the creators actually be there?
The Duffer Brothers, I'm not entirely sure what their plans are regarding that, but it'd be kind of cool if they did, seeing as they are from Durham.
This is big enough. I, myself, am not still invested in Stranger Things. It is still culturally significant enough that the Bulls are obviously making a good decision to do this, and presumably there'll be some really cool jerseys as well. What if you haven't watched the final two episodes yet, what if the Bulls jersey is like a spoiler? Like, you got to watch the episodes.
Well, you have time.
You got to watch those episodes before those Bulls jerseys drop for the Stranger Things.
Yeah, well, you have time. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Also, for those of us who enjoy the Marvel Cinematic Universe we talked about, Charlie Cox as Daredevil and Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin will be in the new upcoming Echo series on Disney Plus. Now, D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox are the only two characters, Daredevil and Kingpin, the only two characters from the Netflix series that we have with Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, that actually crossed, and Punisher, that crossover. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
What?
Don't you dare.
What? I'm sorry.
Don't you dare.
The air conditioning was so good. It was hot outside. I fell asleep in there. I'm sure it had nothing to do with you explaining which characters came over from the Netflix series.
You didn't let me get to my point, but that's fine.
No,
it's fine.
No.
It's fine, Hayes.
I definitely want to hear your point.
No. No, you don't.
I'm dying to hear the point that you were going to make.
No, you don't. No, you don't, Hayes.
I'm sorry, man.
No, you don't. No, you're not. You're not sorry. You're not sorry one bit.
Remember that time I gave you a book, Dennis Cox?
You did.
I gave you a birthday present, and it was Marvel-related because I know you so well. That's how it is.
Yeah, it's just all superhero-related. I actually do have one more thing here for you.
Hit the button. Bring it. It's your segment.
Is it?
Unless I want to talk British politics.
Is it? You want to sit there and compare beanballing to...
The wee mighty representative from the state of Lancaster is wrong.
Issue him a warning.
Yeah, exactly.
Tit, tit.
I can't remember where I was going to go to.
You had another one. You said you had another one.
I did.
What do you got?
Okay. So, final thing. This goes into the world of gaming. So, Grand Theft Auto is one of the biggest video game franchises. It's been spanned for years over different generations of consoles. Well, it looks like Rockstar Games is really actually focusing on developing Grand Theft Auto 6. So, they've been constantly releasing updates and new storylines for Grand Theft Auto 5, GTAV, as some people like to call it. But there looks like they're kind of, I guess you say, lack of a better term, lifting the curtain on GTA 6.
Okay.
And looks like this game is probably going to be developing for a release, and my guess is in the next 2 years.
Which one was Vice City? Was that the first one?
I want to say that was the second or third.
The third? That, I said I played only sports games. Here or there, there was like a month where I got sucked into like a certain game, and like Grand Theft Auto Vice City was one of them. That was a fantastic game. And how is this? I'm not saying I would like it or watch it, but how has Grand Theft Auto not been developed into like a movie or a TV series yet?
Yeah.
Does it seem like with all the, with its like level of popularity and brand recognition among gamers and then not hardcore gamers like me, and then it's just set up of like, be really easy to write a crime Netflix series around Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, and especially now with the trend of TV shows oftentimes that are being developed now, or even movies, are all based off of current intellectual property. You know, that's what actually Stranger Things is, an original creation.
Yep.
And I know there's actually going to be some spinoffs that I know the Duffer Brothers are going to create. So that those are original creations, but we're seeing so oftentimes just intellectual property that has a fan base. Okay, we can make this a TV series because we know we're going to draw eyes instantly that way.
I think that's going to happen.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Unless there is conference realignment news coming from sources other than Swim Swim News. We will not be discussing them further on this show other than to give you that update over and over again.
When we go to place your bets, I have your prop bet.
All right, there we go. Swim Swim News, continue. I wish I could find – actually, I want to go find a swimming bet. I want to find something from Swim Swim News that influences a swimming bet, but I don't have one just yet. But it is time to check where our units are at and to put down some more units. It's Place Your Bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah.
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you.
All right, yesterday I bounced back. I got the Mets with a win. I got my Oklahoma City Thunder. We went head-to-head on that one. I got the victory,
yep.
Even though Chet Holmgren did get bullied a little bit more, and he wasn't quite as great as he was first. He's still good. He's going to be good. But then my girl Tatiana Maria could not pull off the upset. So I made 77 units yesterday. How'd you fare?
I went 0 for.
Ooh, that's Is that back-to-back offers?
Yep.
This week since I've been here?
Yep.
Ooh, that's no fun. All right, how are you going to break out of the slump today, Coxie?
All right, well, Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith make their summer league debuts today.
Okay.
Banchero and Smith each going for 20-plus points at plus 350. I'll take that. I think they ball out in their summer league debuts.
All right, I like it. I'm going across the pond. The Scottish Open gets underway today. And my man Cam Smith, I forget exactly where he's from. He might be Australian. Cameron Smith. He speaks somewhere with an accent, and I think that's going to make him fit in there in Scotland. And he just kind of looks kind of weird. He looks like he could be Scottish. I think the crowd embraces him. I like Cameron Smith to win the Scottish Open at plus 1,400.
Okay.
I should just take him in like a top 10 or something safe, but I'm taking him to win the whole darn thing.
Win the plus whole 1400, darn thing.
Trying to set up gold for a good position.
USA Women's soccer takes on Jamaica today.
I saw
CONCACAF.
That. Women's CONCACAF Championship. This isn't the final, but the
yeah, it's just the group tournament play, yeah. I believe. All right, I have USA beating Jamaica by a final score of 3-0. Give me a plus 475.
Oh, you're not only just taking the women to win, you're taking the score.
Well, yeah, because they're a favorite by
right. You can't make not a whole lot of value
minus 20,000.
Interesting. Yeah, I expect the U.S. women will win. All right. I was telling you about the odds for who's going to start Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Listen to this logic. Sam Darnold is plus 200 to be the week one starter for the Panthers. Baker Mayfield is minus 300. Now, I wish they would offer odds that both play week one. I really wish they would.
Yes.
Because I would love to bet on it. It'd probably be like plus 1,000, and I would love to take it. So as it stands now, Baker Mayfield, just traded to the Panthers, is the clear favorite to be the week one starter, even though coming for the Panthers, he's making significantly less money, around $5 million, whereas Sam Darnold is getting $18 or $19 million. I think the right thing to do will be to play Baker Mayfield, and he's minus 300. And since I think that's the right thing to do, I'm going to bet on the Panthers doing the exact opposite. I'm taking Sam Darnold plus 200 to be the week one starter. That's what I'm doing. What you got?
I love it. All right, well, odds just came out this week for who the PLL MVP is to be. Fourth best odds, your man Will Manny at plus 800 for PLL MVP. He leads the league in goals and points and second in assists. Yeah, your man Will Manny.
He's definitely going to win it. I saved my falling asleep bit for your Marvel take, so I guess I can't go back to the well.
Hey, Will Manny's your guy.
I can't go back to the well.
Will Manny is your guy.
Well, I don't even remember how he became my guy.
Oh, I we don't have enough time.
I don't remember the origin of it, but I do like him. All right, and my final bet is going to be Aaron Judge to hit a home run
plus
tonight.
Plus 205.
That's it?
Yep.
That's all I get? Plus 205? Good Lord. All right, Aaron, warm up the bat, buddy. I'm taking it. Cameron Smith win the Scottish Open. Sam Darnold be the week one starter. And Aaron Judge. None of these I'm going to be able to resolve by tomorrow. Oh, I guess Aaron Judge I will.
Yeah.
So I'll have something to report on tomorrow. That is where I'm placing my bets. What time is that USA-Jamaica game? Do you know?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Check it out.
This is the Adam Gold Show. have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.